Star Wars geek girls. They're geek girls that like Star Wars. And sometimes cry.
Hi everyone! Thank you so much for coming and not going to the High Republic panel. It's awesome.
You don't want that light on. Turn the light off. He has a video light on.
I'm Zoe, I'm Star Wars geek girl. If you've been listening, or if my dad just handed a card to you and told you to come today or yesterday. So, Matt.
Hi, I'm Matt Martin. I'm part of the Lucasfilm franchise story team. Work on Star Wars storytelling on video games and animation and publishing and Disney parks and lots of stuff.
Yeah, so I've known you for a few years. We haven't podcasted together, so it's really cool to do it, especially at Celebration, which has been really awesome so far. Do you have any thoughts on anything? I'm sure you know what you want to do anyway, but any thoughts you can say about what we've learned yesterday or today?
I mean, I'm still catching up myself because I wasn't actually in the panel. Daisy coming out blew my mind as much as it did anybody else's. Like, I've heard rumblings of like her being involved in a thing, but since I don't work on live action, I didn't really know. And certainly was like, things take a long time to get rolling. There's no way that she's going to be here.
Yeah.
So having her come out was like a really awesome surprise.
I fully admit, I started just sobbing when Rey came out. I was like, all right, that was a lot, but I was so excited.
Yeah, me too. Like, whatever they're doing there, I'm in.
You don't just know everything all the time.
You know, when it comes to stuff like that, it's almost easier to not know. At least until it starts to become solidified,
Yeah. Because
there's already so much that I do have to remember that, like, not knowing what's going on and what may or may not actually happen is just probably just easier.
Well, yeah. A couple of years ago, I'm sure a lot of people know if you've been listening to the podcast or ever talked to my dad, I was on Our Star Wars Stories, which was a web series Lucasfilm did focusing on different people and their individual Star Wars stories. And so Matt was on the crew and helped tell everyone's Star Wars stories, but tell mine. So I want you on our podcast today to tell a little bit of your Star Wars story.
Sure. My story is weird. I grew up as a big Star Wars fan from the point where I was pretty young. But I'm of that age where, like, I kind of got into Star Wars where no one cared about Star Wars, like before the special editions, but after the films. So I was like that weird kid that was really into Star Wars. And it actually started at a sleepover, a friend's sleepover, randomly decided to put on Return of the Jedi. And like, it blew my mind. Like, I probably had seen them before, like just as a younger child, because I know my dad had like bootleg VHS of them. But seeing it then was like a revelation. And I literally left the sleepover at like 1 a.m. and went home and watched the other two films, and then I watched it literally every single day, or every night in bed, one of the movies, until I was probably 16 or so. And then I got into kind of Lucasfilm as a volunteer at conventions. So I started out volunteering at Comic-Con, and through that I met people, and I volunteered for like 5 years, and eventually gradually made my way in to a job I was not qualified for. Which at the time was, we had a Star Wars shop. I don't know if you remember. That might even predate you.
It's not something.
It was like the online store, like the official online store. And I did a lot of work with them at conventions, and eventually, like, the buyer left, and I put in for his job, and I know nothing about buying, but I kind of convinced them. I'm like, so I know Star Wars really well. I know your audience because I'm a collector, and I know your website because you've been using it. Maybe you could just teach me the buying thing. And they kind of just took a chance with me. That's how I got in the door. And then eventually I moved on to the StarWars.com team, where I managed like Star Wars social media and produced videos and things, and eventually on to the story.
That's so cool. So, related, so you're someone who obviously Star Wars influenced your career path, and I get to work with Star Wars. I just graduated college, and Star Wars very much influenced my decision to pursue film, and hopefully someday I'll get to do Lucasfilm stuff, maybe.
I hope so. It'd be nice to meet work colleagues. That'd be cool.
That would be super cool. So I think we can both talk about a little bit how Star Wars can have, obviously Star Wars impacts so many people. specifically pursuing it career-wise, even, you know, not necessarily just for us, it's, you know, working in Star Wars, but just how Star Wars can impact the way you see your career, I think is something we can both talk about for sure. Like, I know for me, I really got into film because of watching, like, behind-the-scenes stuff of Star Wars. Like, I would, you know, we had the Clone Wars DVDs when I was a kid, and I would watch the Clone Wars, and then I would watch all the behind-the-scenes, like, the interviews with Dave Filoni, and the sketch processes, and all the stuff about concept art. And then, you know, I just started eating up anything I could find about behind-the-scenes of the movies and everything, and just that, like, really sparked an interest in me, and, you know, I paid a lot of money to go to school for it, so... Still paying a lot of money. So, you know, and I think, like, do you have, it was what particularly, like, drew you to, obviously you moved to the story group, like, what drew you to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny, because I never, growing up, if anybody asked me what I wanted to do, I would 100% have been, I want to work for Lucasfilm. And my backup was always, I want to work for Imagineering, which is cool, because now I kind of get to do both. But I never thought that that was, like a viable career. So I actually went to school for visual communications, which is essentially like graphic design, never thinking I would be able to do anything officially for Star Wars. But when I was young, I was really, really into the Star Wars lore. I would read like the RPG manuals that would come out as if they were like textbooks. Like, I just loved them. And it's funny because when the story group was created, they needed people that just knew Star Wars lore. And, like, that was just the thing that I loved so much. So I never thought it would lead to a career, but it was like, you know, being an 8-year-old reading an RPG manual, I guess, worked out in the end.
Yeah, that's super cool. And I think it's cool. It's, like, different things can influence so much. And another thing, you know, I think everybody here relates to this, is carrying Star Wars with you, like, on a day-to-day basis, whether physically or on your body. Do you want to talk about the tattoo you just got here?
I did, like, literally 45 minutes ago, just finished getting a Yaddle tattoo. Probably the only Yaddle tattoo out there.
That's a challenge, by the way.
Yeah, if anybody else wants to get a Yaddle tattoo, like, I would love that. I want to meet the other people that like Yaddle as much as me. But it's got to that point where it's like, I kind of slowly started with this on, like, Leia was my first Star Wars tattoo because she's, like, my number one, but then I got a bunch of Macquarie art, and I got this Vader piece over here, and the Starspeeder 3000 from Star Tours, and it's just, like, my love of Star Wars is, it was just, like, an easy thing, like, logical, if I was gonna get tattooed, it had to be Star Wars.
Yeah, I have one, and I'm not nearly as tattooed as you, but I have the tattoo with the symbol of Hera's on Hera's Leku, and that one my back.
Awesome.
So I was like watching this, and I was like, does she have it? That's important to me. But I think, like, you know, obviously it's physical, but I think also, like, messages in Star Wars, even about Star Wars, something that really affected me when I was about to graduate high school at Celebration in Chicago, and it was the 40th year anniversary panel, or 20th year anniversary panel of Phantom Menace, and hearing, like, Doug Chang and a lot of the special effects artists talk about, like, George Lucas would, like, give him an idea, and they'd look at it and think, like, that's impossible, like, we can't do that, but George would, you know, maybe push a little bit, or, like, just he's had this confidence and was like, you can do it, and that made them figure out how to do it instead of just, like, looking at it and be like, I can't do that, like, and then giving up. And that was something, like, I really took into college with me, I think, especially film, you know, because especially I ended up being a producer on a sketch comedy show for my university TV, and so, like, I would get a script from the writer, and I'd look at it and be like, we can't do that, we have a budget of $0. I was like, there's no way. But, you know, I would try and think of that, like, hey, like, what would George Lucas do, and, like, try and get over that immediate reaction, and think, like, you know, like, okay, well, I'll think about it a little bit, and sometimes it was like, no, we can't do that. Like, the venue is not going to let us pour water all over their carpet. Like, you have to change that joke. But there were other times where I'm like, well, I think we can make it work if we do this. And, like, you know, pitch in. Everyone pitches in a couple bucks. And, you know, I definitely took that with me. And I think that's those kind of things is what Star Wars really has, both in and out of the universe.
That's such a good lesson to learn from Star Wars and George in general. Like, that attitude is so pervasive still at ILM. Like, every time they want to do a crazy thing, like recreate Grand Moff Tarkin, like you'll hear John Knoll talk about it in just like a, yeah, we don't know how to do that, but we'll do it. And it's like, he's so blasé about it. It's like, there's nothing that they can't do if they try. And I think that's such a good lesson for filmmakers, especially producers, because like some producers will get caught in that trap of like, you know, bottom line, and it's only like, you know, we can't do that because we can't afford it. But the best producers are the ones that are creative enough to find ways to, if not solve for that exact thing, find a creative solution to get an alternative. And sometimes those creative solutions actually end up making it even better.
Yeah, agreed. And that's something I think in the, I think it's just called Light and Magic, the documentary.
Yeah.
When they're talking about that again in the context of the original trilogy, like completely pioneering everything really they had to do. And, you know, it was, they said George would tell them, like, I want you to do this. And their, you know, the interaction was like, we can't do that. No one's done that. That's impossible. And he goes, just think about it. And I try to, like, just think about it when I see those things. So that I get caught up in that. Like, my immediate reaction is like, oh, I don't think I can do that. I don't know if I'm skilled enough. I don't know if I have the brains. But I'm like, I'll just think about it. And I think that's something you can find in Star Wars, too. They're, you know, it's maybe a bit more dramatic than whether or not you can make a picture of a spaceship fly. It's usually more of a life and death situation within Star Wars. But I think that's something, you know, they're so often against such impossible odds. But if they just think about it and they try, they can do that. And that's a philosophy I try to live by, especially, you know, trying to jump into a career and move across the country from my family, you know?
It's nice having you in LA, though.
It was really nice in LA. I can't wait to go back. My dad convinced me. I was like, I gotta go back right away. He convinced me to wait till June. He's like, well, I can drive you. You'll save money.
Oh, good plan.
Good. So he's trying to keep me as long as he can, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's fun. You know, apartment hunting's not so fun.
No. I mean, living in LA is great, but also living in LA is not great. It's difficult.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, that was like, I think, a first step. I got to do the LA study away program for my school, so it was like moving with the training wheels still on, which was nice. But that was, again, like, I was so nervous. I was like, I'm so far away. And that was something, again, Star Wars was like, almost like created so many lifelines for me, because I'm across the country. Like, my family, who I grew up with, they're on the other side. So, like, I can still call them and talk to them, but, like, there's like, there wasn't an emergency, but if there was or something, I was like, you know, no one can come get me or whatever. So I, you know, I kind of realized one day, I was like, everyone who's been helping me here in LA is people I knew from Star Wars. It's you. Lizzie and her family picked me up from the airport and let me stay with them for a couple of days until I could move into my apartment. And even like new friends, like the weekend after I moved in, the local Mercs, Mandalore out in LA, they were having an armor party, and I just like messaged the guy on the forum. I was like, "Hey, can I come like to your armor party and just like meet you?" And they're like, "Oh yeah!" And everyone, they were so nice and so helpful, and they invited me to the Andor premiere, which was like,
"Oh, that's awesome!"
Which is, I was like, "I just met you," and they're like, "Oh, we have an extra ticket. You want it?" It's like, "Yeah."
That's what's so nice about like the Star Wars community. It's so supportive in that way. You do meet friends from all over. So when you come to some place different, there's always a good chance you're gonna find people you already know or have some sort of connection with.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's so cool because, you know, again, have that safety net from Star Wars. And, you know, because, like, even these people I just met, all we had in common was that we, you know, like the same movies and the same shows and books. But they were like, oh, like, if you need help, they would, like, give me a ride home because I don't have a car, which is terrible in LA. I don't want to live in LA without a car again. But they were like, oh yeah, I'll give you a ride home, I'll give you a ride there, like, and like, oh, like, I'll pay for your dinner, don't worry about it. And I was like, I don't know you. But it was so nice. And it's, you know, sense of community. It's what I love about Celebration, is that sense of community. Because I think, you know, online things can get jumbled and you hear all sorts of voices, which can be good and bad. But Celebration is just this pure energy of just joy and passion. Something I really look forward to every time.
Yeah, it's nice to be back.
Yeah, yes. It's cool to be in Europe. I've never been in Europe before. I know you have.
I have, yeah.
I haven't. And it's really cool.
It is. Do you have any time to like hang out?
We got here Thursday and like crashed. But it's been super cool. I think something sort of related to that is I wanted to ask you about any specific characters or stories that are meaningful to us. Obviously, Yaddle. What brings you to Yaddle? I'm curious.
Yaddle is just my love for, like, it's going to sound weird, but, like, I like the stupid side of Star Wars. I like when Star Wars doesn't take itself seriously, because I think that levity, that was such a George Lucas thing, is what makes, or is one of the things that makes Star Wars so relatable to so many different kind of generations and types of fans. And so I've liked Yaddle since, like, 99, to see her back there in the council just looking silly. It was like, oh, is that like a rejected Yoda puppet or what? And I actually had the funny, there's this really ridiculous photo, which is kind of what my tattoo is based on, of her, like, just looking surprised, like, and I had that as my phone background for, like, 2 years, because every time I would turn on my phone, I'd be like, hey, that's fun. So that was really it with Yaddle. And then, like, more recently with Tails, which I am fortunate enough to have been able to work on a little bit, it was so nice because I knew Dave was, like, wanted to do something with Yaddle, and I just remember being in that room and being like, oh god, please don't do anything bad with Yaddle. But I mean, he, like, you know, they took the character seriously. They brought in a legit actor to play the voice, and they had her be a badass, and, like, yeah, she dies, but, like, she dies in a very, like, meaningful, impactful way. Like, that's exactly what I want from that character, where you can have somebody that is silly, but then also, like, can rise up and be great. And I think that's the Yaddle thing.
Yeah, I think that's such a core part of Star Wars, too. And I think it's something, you know, when it does get serious and sad, it enhances it, I think, how silly it is. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to have, you know, you have this character, and you just kind of get used to them being sad. It's like, oh, they're sad again,
yeah.
You know? But when you've seen that character laughing and being silly, I think it's more impactful. Like, you know, like, I always get really sad see Jar Jar's sad face.
That's what I was thinking too.
In Revenge of the Sith, because we're so used to him being, oh, it's Jar Jar, like, he has fun and he's silly and goofy, and then you see him mourning, and it's you know, I think it really enhances the impact of Padme's funeral. The same reason, like, I love Star Wars on TV so much is because we can get this longer form where we get a lot more of those moments, and then so when it gets serious, like, you know, I think part of the reason Ahsoka and Anakin's, you know, like, the conflict in Rebels of why it works so well is because we've seen them be laughing and joking in Clone Wars, you know, and that's why it hits so hard.
Exactly.
So that's something I also really enjoy this how silly Star Wars can get. I love the sixth episode of The Mandalorian and Lizzo and Jack Black.
I still haven't watched it yet because I was here.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
I know that. Don't worry. But I'm excited to see that because I haven't seen it, and I'm like,
it's so good.
Like, I knew it was coming, and she's like, oh, and I love Jack Black. Like, dude's just
that
so
fun. That episode was, like, engineered in a lab to appeal to my mom. It has Lizzo. She loves Lizzo. It's Jack Black. She loves Jack Black. It was a murder mystery. Like, she loves, like, bones and, like,
oh,
all this
great
stuff. It was, like, engineered in a lab to appeal to my mom. And Grogu's in it. She loves Grogu. It was great.
Has she watched it yet?
She has. She watched part of it. She was upstairs from watching it, and Lizzo, I was like, Mom, Lizzo, you gotta, you gotta see Lizzo. She's like, you're lying. She's not. Lizzo's not in Star Wars. I was like, no, Lizzo's in Star Wars. Get down here.
I love how Lizzo was also announced to be in The Simpsons, like, that same day. Like,
oh,
it's just like this Lizzo takeover.
I'm all for it, though.
Yeah, it's great.
It's great. Yeah, I guess sort of back to my question, it's characters that are meaningful. Obviously, Sabine is a very meaningful character to me, if you can't tell. I really enjoy her art. I think she's definitely helped me, you know, because Rebels came out when I was like 13, 14. And so, you know, at 13, 14, you're still figuring out how to, like, express yourself and, like, it's like, what do I want to be and look like and things. And I think Sabine really helped me, like, figure out my style. I like the short back hair. She helped me, you know, I was always like someone who's like, I can't draw. Like, I can't draw. And, you know, I was like, well, Sabine's an artist. And I'm still not, you know, I'm no professional artist, and I don't think I will be, but, you know, I've painted my walls, and it's definitely helped me access that part of myself. It's her journey. And
that's so cool. It's almost like you guys were going through similar things.
Yeah.
Like, she's going through the Star Wars version of it, but, like, together, I'm sure you could really relate to her since.
Yeah, absolutely.
Same headspace.
It was really cool. She's 16 at the start of Rebels, so she's like a couple years older than me, but we're going through such a a similar journey. It felt like, I really felt like, you know, for me, like, Clone Wars came out when I was 7, so Ahsoka was my little girl growing up, like, you know, because Ahsoka is, like, figuring out herself, and I related to that as a little kid, and then I had Sabine, because I was much closer to an age growing up with her, and then, honestly, Resistance came out when I was entering college, and I really connected to Kaz, because obviously there's a lot going on in Resistance, but Kaz is, like, he's in a new place, and he has to meet new friends, and, like, figure out his relationship with these people and who he is away from what he's known before. And so it's been really cool to, like, you know, through my developing years, have a character for each, you know, age.
Yeah, that's great. That's really cool. I never even thought of that, because I've basically been an adult for all of the animated series. So, like, I've loved them all, but I think I relate to them in a different way. So it's really cool to hear sort of your version of that.
Yeah. I mean, I know, like, I'm always a little bit jealous when you talk about seeing, like, A New Hope for the first time or Phantom Menace.
You know, I saw Phantom Menace 27 times in the theater.
27? I didn't see Force Awakens that many times. Especially New Hope, people always talk about how it was, like, this magical experience, and I've always been a little bit jealous of how new it was. Yeah,
same.
I kind of wish I could have done that, but, like, for me, that experience was seeing Clone Wars in theaters. I think we saw only Clone Wars only 5 times. Saffy, who's in the audience right now, she's shaking her head. She was really scared of Ventress. Fun fact, she was really scared of Ventress.
She's very intimidating.
She's very scary in that movie. But so when Ventress would, like, come and she would, like choke Rex and she'd come in all scary, she would have to go to the bathroom every time. So my dad missed that part of the movie the first, like, 3 times until my mom came. But yeah, so, like, Clone Wars was that for me. I was like, you know, people say all sorts of things about that movie. I will always love it so much, because to me that was like, oh my gosh, that was my Star Wars on the big screen. And it was such a cool experience. And then I think Rey also, seeing a live action Star Wars, but also, so, like, Rey coming back this year, I was like, oh, this is, I was like, to me that's, like, what people probably felt like when, like, they said Han Land, like, we're going to be in episode 7.
Totally.
That was my, like...
That makes perfect sense. You're exactly that generation.
Yeah. Because she... Yeah, that was my freshman year of high school. Right now. And I was like, you know, and, like, I always cry when she pulls that lightsaber from the snow. Like, that was such a powerful moment for me. I'm excited to see her come back. I love Rey, Finn, and Poe so much. They're such great characters.
Same.
I hope we'll see, you know, if we don't get Finn and Poe in this coming, if we see them again someday.
I agree.
They're great in some books.
Yeah, like some of the stuff we've done, like Resistance Reborn is a book that I worked on, and I love all of the character interplay.
That's such an awesome book. That brought so many things back.
Yeah.
So many things. It was almost like, it was like Infinity War of Star Wars.
Totally. It was very much tied together things.
You like some Battlefront 2 stuff?
Yeah, when Rebecca's like, can we use Shriv in this book? And I'm like, oh yeah, of course you can use Shriv. Please use Shriv.
Yeah, oh my gosh. That's it.
Even snuck in Grimface, who is one of my favorite characters.
Oh, yeah. That's such a good book. Yeah. Are there any... We talked about Yaddle for you. Any other characters?
Leia is my big one. Like, Leia is my favorite character. Like, in an inspirational sort, she's, like, the type of person I wish I could be, and I probably would never be. She's a lot more outgoing than me. But, like, you know, she is such a beacon of hope, and she fights for what she believes in, and she fights in multiple ways on multiple fronts. But she's always trying to do the right thing, and she's loyal to her friends, and, you know, she's just the best. Like, if more people were like Leia, the world would be a better place.
Yes, it would. Yeah, and I think Leia is such an important... And then also, like, you know, when we were talking about, like, things in and out of Star Wars, like, Carrie Fisher is such an inspiration.
Definitely.
Such an amazing human being.
Yep. I was very fortunate, like, for some celebrations that I got to interact with her, and she was always, like, like, she's exactly what you want her to be.
Yeah.
And just, like, I don't get starstruck, really. I don't really care that much about actors. But, like, with Carrie, like, I just want to hang out with her. And Gary, her dog, because her dog is great. So one time I did get to pet sit Gary for, like, an hour or so. And that was, like, highlight of my celebration
that's
career.
That's so awesome. Yeah. I'm trying to think more for me. I feel like I talked about mine with the animated series all, like, lining up really well for parts of my life. Any, like, particular, like, you know, not necessarily character, but, like, a story that really means something?
I think, anything something about the rebellion in general always means a lot to me. Like, I really like what they've done with Andor and Rogue. Like, I don't know if it's, like, me just coming from kind of a punk rock background, because that's what I was in high school. But, like, the idea of rising up against authority is always, like, it always impacts me, especially when you have an authority that is so clearly bad. Like, in Star Wars, it's, you know, like, just something about that scrappy band fighting for what they need to do. And now, I don't want to get into politics, but now the direction the world is heading makes me feel even more rebellious in that way, which I guess is probably key to Star Wars.
Yeah, I agree. I think one of my favorite moments probably in the saga is in The Rise of Skywalker, when they're coming against the Exegol fleet, and the there's the two officers, Pride, I think is one of them,
yeah.
And he goes like why do they, where'd they get this fleet? Where'd they get this military? And he's like, well, it's just people.
Yeah.
I totally butchered that quote, by the way. But that's always such an impact, because that's such a representation of all of Star Wars. Like, it's not, you know, it's not a counterforce, it's just people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, when you see, like, this big oppressive force, you know, there's no way to beat that. And then you have the rallying of everybody just doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I also want to talk a little bit. Mentioned this earlier. We talked about, like, the energy of Celebration, and you talked about getting to babysit Gary Fisher, which is awesome. Any, like, other things you really love? Any strong Celebration memories, since we are here at Celebration?
I mean, I've only missed two Celebrations my whole life. I missed the first one, and I'm still, like, angry about it. I'll never forget that one. And then I missed the first London one, because I was on tour with some bands, tour managing. But, so I've had a lot of Celebration memories over the years, both as a fan and working it. The first time that we did the Celebration live stream in 2015 was really, really huge for me, because that was just such a big undertaking. And I was helping produce the stream and doing all of the social coverage at the same time. So, like, it was also a lot of work, but one of my favorite moments of that show was, that was where they debuted the Rebels Season 2 premiere, I think, and in that trailer, it's a trailer with Rex, and we had a fan volunteer, because we would have, like, volunteers that were helping at the stage. A fan volunteer was a huge Rebels guy, and missed the Rebels panel because he was so dedicated to working on our stupid thing that he, and I was just like, no, you can't miss it. But because I was also posting everything, I had the trailer on my laptop. So I was like, no, dude, come upstairs. We're gonna turn all the lights off. I know it's not as good of a presentation as it would have been in the panel, but sit here, watch it on my computer. And so I got to watch him individually, just by himself, watching the trailer. And, like, when the Rex, it like cuts to black and the Rex voice comes on, and he's just like, yeah, like, that meant so much to me.
I think those moments, I'm very expressive and reactive. Like, I mentioned crying when Ray came out, like, in a panel. Like, so if you ever sat next to me, you'll know that. But seeing, like, other people's reactions is always something I really love. Especially the kids, obviously, are always, like, you know. Like, yesterday, walking out of the studio showcase, there was, like, a little girl dressed as Ray with the biggest smile on her face. And it just made me so happy.
Oh, that's so great. Since you mentioned kids, actually, I've been working on Young Jedi Adventures, which
yes,
is our, like, you know, younger fan show, and I'm so excited about that, because, I mean, I love the show. It's so fun. Like, every time I have to watch one for work, it's, like, not even, like, work. But because it's gonna give young kids this new, like, outlet, this new way, kind of way in to Star Wars, it feels so, so cool, and I'm like, oh, man, I can't wait to see, you know, some actors, like, kids here, like, in their
Halloween costumes.
Yeah, like, in their Kylas and Nubs costumes, and hopefully some Nash costumes, because she's my favorite. But the idea of finally giving that age something, and now you have, like, so many things you can kind of start there and just graduate to, and there will be Star Wars for you for your entire life, and that's just
yeah.
So cool.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I was, like, totally squealing over the toys at the Hasbro.
Me too.
I was like, oh my god, I love Nubs. So
she's so cute. I saw somebody on the floor with a homemade Nubs shirt, and it made me so happy.
Oh my god. I can't wait for the
Did you see the backpack?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I was like, looks like a kid's backpack. Yeah. But I'm like, it can work as like a mini
backpack. Yeah, it'll be like one of the lounge fly ones.
Yeah, but it's basically, yeah. And it comes with another plushie.
Yeah.
It's so cute. Yeah, I'm trying to think, I was going to say something. Celebration movies. I forgot it.
Sorry, I distracted.
No. Young Jedi Adventures in Brooklyn. I'm very, very, because I've seen the shorts, and the show comes out April.
I think the show comes out May 4th. May the 4th.
That's
a date we should remember.
Yes, probably May 4th. That show is going to be super good. And it's cool that it's High Republic.
Yeah.
And we're getting that start to come to screen, which is awesome. This is a celebration memory, but sort of aligned to kids grabbing things. I think you were there when we saw, there was like the marathon day of, what was the theater? All the original
shows. Oh, The Arrow.
At The Arrow, there was like a marathon of all the original shows, and there was a lot of like kids, and there was like a kid, there was like one, I think, I forget which movie, but there was like a kid like right in front of us, and I was like leaning over, and I was like, what's he think? It sounded like when he's talking to his dad, like he hadn't seen him before, so I'm like, what?
Oh, that's great.
What do you think? So you kind of look at his face. It's super cool, because obviously, you know, I'm sure all of us, like, it's something that we get very emotional about, it's very sacred to us, and it's always cool to, like, bring that to someone. When we were queued up today for the Ahsoka panel, we're talking to this girl who had only seen Star Wars this past year, because her friend showed it to her, and she was talking about how, like, she's like, yeah, I'd never seen any of it before, and then my friend, she described it as her friend introducing her to her world. She's like, well, now I don't want to leave.
Oh, that's
great.
And
I thought that was such a great way to put it. You know, I love seeing, you know, people, because we, you know, Celebration, there's some people who've, like, been a fan their whole lives, been a fan since 1977, and it's also cool to see people who are like, I'm new here, but I love this so much, and I want to share it with everybody.
Definitely. Ooh, I just thought of another Celebration memory.
Okay, go ahead.
Seeing you as 000.
Oh, Safi!
That blew my mind, because I still, like, I vividly remember, I'm pretty sure it was Orlando, but, like, I vividly remember coming across you in the hallway, and just, I work on the Afro series and comics, but, like, I'm just a big Afro fan. And seeing Trip, and then having you talk as Trip, it was just, like,
wait, I think that was Christian.
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't call.
Okay. Then it may not have been you.
But you signed the inside of her helmet.
I did sign the inside of your helmet. I have seen you in the costume.
In Chicago.
Okay, that was probably.
I think you had it in Orlando.
Yeah, we did.
So who was it in Orlando?
That was Christian. I'll send you his information.
So there's how many Trips are there?
There's probably half a dozen.
That's amazing. There's one here yesterday.
Did you bring Trip?
Yeah, that doesn't fit in it.
Yeah, that's a lot to go international.
Sabine, Ahsoka, and Fennec took up like all of our bags.
Fair. Well, I'm sorry, that wasn't you. But I can't tell because people have helmets on.
Yeah, that was hard. But yeah, I mean, that's cool that you get to, you know, have a part in shaping and creating these characters, and then you get to see them brought to life. Actually, Dave was talking a lot about that in the Ahsoka panel today, seeing Ahsoka and Sabine and Hera next to him.
Yeah, it's really surreal. Like, I saw, like, a whole group of High Republic people on my way in today. It was just like, wow. They had, like, a leveler egg and everything. I was just like, this is so, so cool.
Obviously, I don't have a hand in creating these characters, but, like, if you know, you read a character in a book or a movie, or in a comic, or, like, you've brought to watch them, even, and then you're, like, standing next to someone in, like, an awesome costume. It's like, oh, my God. And, like, I do costumes, so I know you're just a person in a costume, but like, oh my gosh, that's Darth Vader,
yeah.
Whoever.
The people that do it really well, they just like really embody it,
mm-hmm.
And especially when it is the kind of lower tier characters that there are people are less familiar with, that people, you will definitely see a Celebration, because this
yes.
is where they bring out like the deep cut costumes. It's just, it feels so special, because clearly that character meant a lot to that person.
Yes. Yeah, I know my first Celebration was Orlando, and so I've been to cons before, but you know, a general con is like the Star Wars, you see the more like the
yeah.
high tier,
yeah.
the more popular Star Wars costumes generally, and like at troops, so I knew some people were like, oh, like our friend has like a Revan, like I so there was some of that, but like I go to Celebration and I see so many Rebels.
Yeah.
I'd never seen another Rebels, I think I knew one Ezra, but I'd never seen another like Rebels costume. Rebels, and I'd seen some clones, but I'd never seen an Ahsoka before. everyone's like, so many Ahsokas and like all these characters I love. And it was so cool to see. I was like, you love this character like as much as I do. Like, to, you know, to the point for some of you that you're gonna paint your face and glue all sorts of stuff to yourself. And like,
or dye your hair.
Or dye your hair. Now I'm actually really happy because now I can give a like a real life reference to the hairstyles for like the exact haircut, because they don't like it when you bring them a cartoon. It doesn't help them very much.
Fair.
So very excited about that. And you know, it's really cool to see the dedication, because you know, even you know, when we have communities like I'm in like the costuming groups or like online, it's like you're here and every single person loves Star Wars at least as much to buy tickets and possibly fly from very, very far away. Like, we were in line yesterday trying to get the studio showcase, and so there's us from Pennsylvania, we're talking to someone from Scotland, a couple people from England, because you know, that's where we are, we're talking to a family from Israel, talking people from California, like, it's so far, because we're like, oh, we came so far, and we're like, well, I came from California, I'm like, oh, you came even farther, and it's cool to see, to feel that we all have that passion.
Definitely. Here is really interesting because you'll hear so many different accents.
Yes.
We're like, for say California, for Anaheim, it just feels like it's, there's a lot of Americans there. I'm sure there are other people from other countries as well, but here it feels like it's kind of a centralized location for a lot of people. And so you will interact with people from everywhere. It's really, really interesting.
Yeah, and like when we were in line for Ahsoka today, we were listening to, John was part of this, John, a discussion about biscuits versus cookies versus like all sorts of things. It got a little heated, actually. It was really funny. But it's like cool, like, you know, like, yeah, we're at a Star Wars panel, but like all these different, you know, people from all these cultures love these stories and love these characters.
Yeah.
And it brings people together. It's really,
it's like a universal language almost.
Yeah, it really is. And it also reminds me of, we were at Star Wars Weekends, well, when that was still a thing in Orlando. We didn't realize it was Star Wars Weekends when we booked the Disney trip.
Oh, that worked out.
It was like the first weekend of the last batch of Star Wars Weekends, which was cool. But even from Star Wars Weekends, there was tons of people, and we're talking to someone, and they're like, oh yeah, I'm from the Hawaii Garrison. Oh, I'm from the German Garrison. And like, it really brings people together so much.
Definitely. It's cool and weird how George managed to like create something that can appeal to so many different people of different backgrounds and different cultures.
Right, and I think part of that's definitely how much Star Wars draws from so many things too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's obviously Westerns, like very American, but also like the samurai film from Japan, and even like just different planets will have architecture from different places, like Naboo. Obviously, it was filmed there, it's very Italian, very Spanish. To see how we can blend, and that's why I said we'll have something like Visions, which we're getting another volume of.
Yeah.
And allowing, you know, people from different cultures to give back to Star Wars in a way.
Definitely. And Visions is such a great outlet because it doesn't have the kind of rules and restrictions that we may apply to other Star Wars storytelling, so you really do get to see that sort of cultural twist on it, which you'll get even more of for Visions too, because it's an international base of studios.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a couple of Visions. I love Visions. I saw a couple of Visions cosplayers.
Oh, would you say?
I saw an F and
awesome.
A Ronin. I was like, oh, Visions. You know, Visions. It was super exciting. I saw, there was last year, I was Kara one of the days at Celebration.
Oh, that's awesome.
I found two other Karas, and I can't remember his name, but the boy in the blue poncho.
Yeah.
There's one of him, too.
Oh, that's so cool.
I was like, oh my god, like, well, you know, my they all had long hair, so they could, like, actually the ponytail. I had a wig that was sliding to the side because of the ponytail, but it's just, you know, it's cool, and it's cool to see like different costumes, like how people wear them, because you know, it's, you know, obviously there's like on-screen accuracy, but for sometimes it's like both costumes are equally accurate, but it looks different because of the person, and it's awesome to see that personal,
especially when it's something like animation.
Yes.
Because you do have to take some liberties to try to translate, you know, the animated art style to like real world art style, and it's And you end up with different takes on that, which I think is just really cool.
Yeah, it's interesting to see different interpretations. I was F for Halloween a year or two ago, and so I made the shoes, and I was like, oh, there's a silver piece across, but it's, you know, I mean, you can see my black socks under, so I was like taking felt and like gluing it to shoes. And then I saw like the F cosplayer today, she had just a black piece. And I was like, that's so much smarter. I was like, the way I did it is so annoying. But like my brain just saw that and interpreted it as, oh, there's a silver piece over top. So I can make the silver piece over top. I was like, you know, it's cool to, like with animation. You know, especially animation, there's all those little things that like don't make sense. Like Sabine's comm link, when she only has one belt, just kind of like sticks there. Which is why I like to wear the two belts.
A lot of cheating in animation.
And so that was always something I like talking to other Sabine cosplayers about. I feel like most of us have two belts now, but other single belt cosplayers, where I was like, how do you do it? It's like, well, I use a hair tie, I use a mech, and it's like cool to see the different ways you can do stuff.
That's very cool. Did anybody get who you were when you were in your F costume for Halloween?
No. I just wore it to the dining hall. I one person did it, because it was my friend that I made watch machines.
Okay.
That doesn't really count, because I made it.
I've done weird costumes before that absolutely nobody gets.
But I get it.
That's all it is. It's like, well, I know what I am.
Like, that's what, you know, you can tell I'm in a costume.
Yeah.
Usually. So, I don't know, maybe I just dress like that.
I mean, Star Wars has good fashion, so if you just dress like that.
No, I love Sabine's new jacket.
Me too.
I don't know if I want to do the armorless costume, because I just love the armor so much, but like,
you'd have to have the wig.
Yeah, I get the wig. But I was like, I just want the jacket. The
jacket's great.
The jacket's awesome.
I'm very obsessed with Star Wars jackets in general.
There's some good jackets. I feel like Resistance has a lot of good jackets. Like, Cass's jacket's so good. Andor had amazing jackets.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Rogue, I think, is still one of my favorites. Like, there's several Rebels that have, like, some Rebel background Rebels that have, like, the best jacket. It's like this kind of gray-blue with, like, the ribbing down the arm. It's very good.
I love the ribbing on the arm.
Yeah.
I don't know how much, I don't know where that comes from, but I've only seen it in Star Wars.
Yeah, like, I wonder if it, was that a thing, like, in 70s costumes, or is that something they really didn't make? Because most Star Wars costumes from the originals, you can see, you know, like, that has kind of, like, the waffling and stuff like that, which you can see it was popular at the time. Mm-hmm. But that one, I don't know.
I'll have to research that one.
But I love that it's become so iconic.
I know. I have the djinn.
I have that one too.
I'm gonna check the time. Okay. I'm trying to think of other things.
I mean, we can just talk.
So much stuff. What? Oh yeah. Anyone have any questions? Obviously, don't ask Matt about future projects and stuff. He can't answer. I mean, you can ask, but you won't answer.
Yeah, you'll get a very boring answer.
Anyone have any questions for me or Matt? I know Matt's a bit more exciting.
Okay. As someone who was around for the original Star Wars, I was 5 then, but I was still around. How do you see the stories that have changed, or the writing style that has changed from the original Star Wars to what we have now and the future? Not anything specific about the future, but just the styles of what was acceptable back then and now where it's going.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, and that's something that I think we constantly are trying to kind of wrestle with. Because we do still want it to feel like all Star Wars should feel like it has its base in sort of the era that George wrote them, and in kind of the things that inspired him. So it's sort of a melding of looking at what had been done for Star Wars before, and then just sort of the more modern ways of writing. I don't think we ever get rigidly structured. Like, if you look at the Star Wars movies, it's not like they're typically, you know, standard, like, 3-act formula, but, like, it's not, I don't know if you know anything about writing, but it's not, like, the save the cat formula, which is kind of the go-to that a lot of screenwriters use. It's sort of a melding of a lot of different writing styles, so it gets modern, but not too modern, or we definitely try to avoid getting like meta, where it feels like we're being self-referential of Star Wars and things like that. It's always trying to treat it with the authenticity of what would it be like if we wrote it back then, while still finding a way to connect to modern day audiences.
That was an interesting question.
That was a good question.
I like
I hope my answer was okay.
Any other questions? Anyone? Or just, you know, a comment?
What was your weird costumes that you made?
I don't think I did any weird Star Wars costumes. I did Scott Pilgrim before the movie came out, and no one got that. Like, based on the comic, it was very random. Let me think. My girlfriend and I did Kiki's Delivery Service, which kind of just looked like how we would dress. So that one was very, very subtle. We did Party Down before most people knew what Party Down was. It was just like the white shirts with the pink ties, and I don't think very many people got that one. Yeah, those. I think those are the top three randos.
Any other questions? I have a question. No one does. So I know you actually like a lot of movies and stuff like outside of Star Wars. You know, like
I do.
A big fan of like horror and just like movies in general.
Yeah.
You have a great passion about. How does that? You know, how do you let those influence the way you work on Star Wars if you do or like play with genre?
Totally. I mean, yeah, I like movies a lot. You've seen me at movie theaters. I'm in a movie theater like 3 times a week. Like, I love movies and I love the theatrical experience, and horror is 100% my genre. So there are times where, like, I will be in notes suggesting horror elements or referencing specific things. And there are certain writers that we work with that are also, like, horror nerds, so it's very easy to have that sort of back and forth. But just in general, because film influenced Star Wars so much, it continues to be the language that we use sort of behind the scenes. So it's, you know, the day doesn't go by where it's not, where somebody doesn't use another film, you know, classic film or whatever, you know, Lawrence of Arabia did it this way, we want to do something some sort of similar, you know, things like that, it comes up all the time. That's one thing that I always say to people that are like in film school or wanting to be a writer. They ask for advice, and I have terrible advice for it in general because I didn't go to school for that. But my main thing is, like, watch movies. Like, the more movies that you watch and really, really watch them, take them in, don't just pick them apart or something, the more things you'll learn. And it gives you this nice shorthand with other creators because they have also probably watched a lot of those same movies. Watch movies. It's good.
Movies are good. Yes.
What do you feel is the future of, it seems like post-COVID, it seems like streaming has become the thing. Theaters are still there, but they're finally recovering. But what do you feel the future is as far as what now's generation is going to be receiving their Star Wars, either through the big theater or through their phones and watching them or their TV streaming?
All of the above and more. I mean, as we announced yesterday, we announced 3 new films, so those will be theatrical releases, and we'll, I'm sure, have gigantic IMAX, you know, event releases and everything. I still think the industry needs to find a way to convince people, other than people like me, that the theatrical experience is worth the effort. But it's like, for me personally, if I'm sitting at home in front of my TV, like, obviously I watch TV too, but like my pets are doing their thing, it's distracting, or I want to like eat, we can pause it at any time, my phone will be vibrating, like I try to not pick up my phone, but it'll happen, or I'll come up with a question from a movie and I'll have to look it up immediately, and like being in the theater, not being allowed to do that, allows me to focus on it, and allows me to actually remember what I watched, and I'm hoping that that continues to be an experience that people enjoy, but I don't want to limit it, so I think TV has been an amazing outlet, especially with Disney Plus now. It's such an amazing place for Star Wars, and it allows us to tell longer form storytelling that George, aside from Clone Wars, really didn't have an opportunity to do. And then because it's Star Wars, it allows us to experiment too. So we've done virtual reality Star Wars, which I've been able to work on, which is really cool. We've done video games that allow you to, you know, put yourself in Star Wars. We've done interactive experiences like Galaxy's Edge or even more, Galactic Star Cruiser, which is a fully immersive 2-day thing where you literally live in Star Wars for 2 days. I think, I'm hoping that something like that becomes more the norm, where people really get to kind of go and experience the storytelling and not just passively watch it. But yeah, I think it's cool because there's kind of something for everyone. And even, you know, we launched a Star Wars TikTok recently, and so that's going to get to people that are really into TikTok. It's great.
Star Wars TikTok's very funny.
Yeah, they've been doing a good job. Have you noticed the weird running bit of them having three arms? There's this weird bit that, like, it's so bizarre, and I love it so much, where, like, whenever they do, like, the little cooking videos and things, they'll have, like, an arm come in and another arm come in, and then, like, a third arm comes from another direction, which is like, where is that arm coming from? But it's only like, if you pay attention.
It's like the holiday special, though.
Totally.
It's literally like the holiday special.
Totally.
Oh,
it's gourmand, though.
That's true. I guess I'm just, like, paying close enough attention to this.
It's very subtle, because it's just really weird. But, like, I think they're just having fun with it, which is cool. So until our government shuts down TikTok in the States, it'll continue to be fun.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I think that's something... I feel like it's been a more recent shift is like the Star Wars social media being less just acting like, you know, like here's a new episode,
yeah.
Like, oh, there's a new thing, you know, and interacting with fans and like having a bit more of a personality.
Definitely.
Like super fun.
It's been great to watch. They've had some really meaningful interactions with fans that I thought had been really heartfelt. Mm-hmm. And so like it's nice to see them being able to do that.
Yeah. It definitely helps, you know, it's always like kind of fun, like, oh my gosh, Star Wars like my thing, or comment my thing, you know? And it's another way to help people connect and get excited about this.
Yeah, because I mean, as a brand that's been around for more than 40 years now, like, really everyone working on it is a fan. Like, there's nobody that is kind of like the original generation, you know, of people that are still working there at least. And so when social is interacting with people, that's really just fans on both sides of the fence talking to each other.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about.
Exactly.
That's why we're all here, you know, to interact with each other. And you know, the panels and stuff too, but really interacting with each other is always the highlight of Celebration, seeing how creative everyone is and passionate, and, you know, getting to talk about biscuits versus cookies.
General relation of Story Group and Legends. It's been named, right? We've had March where we've seen the cravats, but do you guys like having restrictions on what you can take from, or is it just up to you?
No, it's really about just doing. Sorry, for anybody that didn't hear, the question was kind of about how we deal with canon versus legends. And it's really just about doing it right and what's right for the story. I think the majority of at least the people on the kind of lore side of things, we grew up on Legends. I love Legends. Legends is great. It just kind of organically happens. We rarely are plotting, like, how do we get this character back? But there will be times where, you know, a pitch will come in or an outline or whatever will come in and, you know, a planet seems similar to a Legends planet, or a character is kind of similar to that character, where it gives us, as you know, our EU fans, an opportunity to be like, but what if it's this? and I think it brings us joy when we're able to do that. It brings people that know that a lot of joy, and it also doesn't like cut away from people that don't know Legends, because there's a lot of people now. A kid asked me yesterday, like, 9-year-old kid asked me yesterday something about how he's confused about Legends and canon. I'm like, how do you even know Legends? You're like 9. but it's nice because it allows us to like reintroduce characters in interesting ways to allow kind of a new audience to learn about them from the start while still letting the old audience kind of know what they know and keep that character important to them. Yeah.
Thanks. That was really good, especially about like making sure the Legends characters. Because I read a couple comics when I was a kid, but I wasn't really ever into Legends too much. And it's, you know, there's all these like cool characters and stuff I hear about, but it's so intimidating sometimes to get into, because there's so much. And there's so many opinions on which ones you should read, and like, you know, so it's like Thrawn was one. Like everyone, like I knew Thrawn, like I knew about it, but I never got into all. I already had canon books to come up with. So him being introduced to Rebels, which is like very much like my show, was like a great way to introduce me to his character. I've read all his canon books now, and I think it's so interesting. It is cool for me to be able to, even if it's not like the same iteration of the character to be able to connect with someone who's, you know, maybe a Legends fan and be like, I don't really know all the stuff you're talking about, but like I can connect with what you mean and like the basis of this character.
Definitely. And it's really nice when you have the opportunity. Like we're still working with a lot of people that are kind of still in the family that have worked on Legends, where like somebody like Thrawn, you know, Dave and his team talked to Tim Zahn, who created Thrawn, to try, you know, make sure that they're doing it right and they're you know approaching it in the right way. And it's cool that we have the opportunity to do that, where you know a lot of those people are still you know connected.
Well, and I know a lot of like the canon authors were also Legend authors.
Exactly.
You know, you can bring all that back without you know, like you said, retelling the story, like reinvigorating it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, everybody, for coming. I'm really glad you're here. It always means so much. I feel like so often when I'm podcasting, it feels like we throw it out into the void sometimes. So, like, seeing people, like, I've had some people come up to me and be like, oh, I know you from your podcast or your dad's TikTok. And it's, like, really cool. Like, oh, it's, like, a person, like, actual people, like, seeing the stuff I do. And it's really cool. And it's really meaningful. And that's one of many, many things I love about Celebration. So it's really cool that you're all here, and thank you so much, Matt, for joining
me. Totally, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I know you're really busy doing celebrations, so I'm glad I could nap you.
It's okay, this is way more fun than most of my job.
How is Celebration as a fan versus, like, Lucasfilm employee?
It's more fun as a fan,
okay.
For sure. I'm kind of just, like, I work a lot. That's just who I am. So I end up doing way more work than I really need to be doing when I'm here. So in addition to being on panels and things, doing the things that, like, my current job makes me do, I also help produce the live stream because that's my whole team and it gives me something to do. So it's nice because I do get to see the floor because I'm usually producing the field packages. So I'm, like, out and I get to see stuff. But it is definitely a different thing because I haven't seen a panel in years unless I'm on it, which is not the same experience. And so, you know, it's better as a fan. And if I didn't come here for work, because it was a little dicey, I'm on the Parks panel tomorrow. If I wasn't on that panel, I don't know if they would have sent me out here, but I still would have come and I would have just been here as a fan for the first time in a really long time.
Maybe someday. Not that I don't want you on panels. That's a really hard thing.
It's a mixed bag. It's also nice to, like, have my travel paid for me.
Yeah. That sounds very nice.
Like, it is nice, but, you know, obviously then I'm beholden to everything that I need to do.
Yeah. Where, seeing that you're on the Parks panel, where else can people find you this weekend or online also after?
So, Parks panel tomorrow, I don't remember what time. Tomorrow is Sunday, for anybody that is not aware, because I'm barely following that right now with jet lag and all of that. And then the day after that, which is Monday, I'm on the Marvel Comics panel. And then beyond that, I'll be around here, probably with the camera crew. And online, I'm Missing Words on Twitter. That's probably where I'm most active. I'm also Matthew C. Martin on Instagram, where I post the occasional thing.
Thank you so much, everyone, for coming or for listening. If you're watching this, we couldn't live stream it because the network's a little dotty, but if you're watching this later, thank you for listening and watching. You can find Star Wars Geek Girl at starwarsgeekgirl.com. There's all sorts of things. I write sometimes, there's quizzes and stuff. And then Twitter and Instagram are at SWGeekGirl, and Facebook is just Star Wars Geek Girl. Thank you so much, everybody, again. Thank you, Matt, again, for coming.
Thanks for having me.
This was fun stuff. Have a good celebration. Hopefully, I'll see people around.
Star Wars Geek Girls. They're geek girls that like Star Wars. And sometimes cry.